Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John Dorenbos is with us in studio, former long snapper, 11 years with the Eagles, 14 in the NFL, played with Carson Wentz. We were just talking about Nick Foles, and you were raving about Nick Foles as a teammate and as a person.
I love Nick. I love his whole family. And just look, I spent more time with Nick than I did Carson. But you talk about a guy that about process, about studying. You know, to me, a leader isn't a guy that just runs his mouth. A leader is somebody that knows exactly what's going on, that very rarely makes mistakes. When he does, he admits it, but he handles his business. Mm-hmm. You handle your business like Darren Sproles. Let me tell you this. Darren Sproles is one of my favorite guys I ever played with. He doesn't talk a lot, but I'll tell you what. He handles his business.
Yeah, he's accountable.
That's a leader. He's accountable.
Every Sunday, yep. You know where you could find him. You know what you could expect out of him. I don't know how he's still around, to be honest with you, because I feel like he's my age.
Mighty Mouse, man. He's Mighty Mouse.
He has Mighty Mouse.
You know?
Well, you look at this this current Philadelphia squad, and you played a year with Carson Wentz, who seems like he's on that path to being the franchise, I put in quotes, the franchise guy.
Well, I think when you give a guy $100 million guaranteed,
yeah, of course.
You better be the
he's
guy.
Your franchise guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's one thing to be paid like a franchise guy. It's another to actually be the franchise guy where you're consistently, you know, great and leading a team towards Super Bowls. It feels like he's that guy. Is he that?
Look, I was with him for a year, and before the Eagles traded me, they offered me a 3-year extension, right? And so I was at a verge where I had other opportunities. You know, I did America's Got Talent. There's performing. There's TV. And I kind of sat back, and I said, you know what? If I got a chance, it's probably with this guy right here. Mm. So originally, I signed the extension to basically ride the Carson wagon.
Nice.
Right?
Wow.
Because when you got a quarterback, you got a chance.
Yeah, you do.
And
so,
you can tell right away.
As soon as you meet the guy, you're like, okay, I mean, this guy's he's a freak of nature. He's got arm. He's super smart. You know, look, you can say he's from a small school all you want, but the guy knows football.
Yeah.
So
I
put it this way. I rolled the dice. I went with him.
So the book is called Life is Magic. I know we're jumping around a little bit here. What do you get a bigger rush from? I mean, I know you're not making a tackle. The rush of a long snap is a little different than making a pick and bringing it to the house.
No, he does have to go out and make the tackles.
Well, that's true. I'm thinking of actually the execution of the snap. That's true.
He's like, well, if I considered you an athlete, I was thinking about what you would do.
That's true.
No, a long snapper on punt.
No, that's true.
You're often the unblocked guy.
You can't block him. I got it. My bad. Well, how many tackles did you make then?
Well, that's not important.
Okay.
Let's just, early in my career, I led the league at my position.
You did?
Yeah, that doesn't mean that's a lot. It just means that I was, you know, putting up some numbers.
Okay.
I had double-digit numbers once.
Yeah, no long snapper is the only reason I really got in trouble in the National Football League, because I took a swing at one.
Because he
drilled me. I forget, he played for the Rams. I forget who it was now. But he drilled me.
And you got fined, right?
I got fined because I took a swing at him. Yeah.
Good for you.
Tiki the Bully.
Probably JP, was it JP Darsh?
Might have been.
I think he knows the fraternity of snappers. He knows them all.
It is a fraternity.
Of course it is. So, but what is more, what was more of a rush for you? The tackle downfield or the brilliant spiral that you would send back or magic?
This is a big question.
Like a perfectly executed magic trick where people go, "What? How did you do that?" And really mean it.
So I can honestly say this. Both have had just parallels in my life. And so for me, you know, when I was in training camp with the Eagles and competing live on America's Got Talent during training camp, every day going L.A. Philly, never missed a practice, never missed a meeting, never missed a rehearsal
or a
performance.
That is insane.
My travel schedule was insane. So at that moment, I'll tell you right now. To have the only two jobs I've ever had, right? The only job I ever had, but my first job was doing corporate walk-around card tricks when I was like 16 at like corporate events, like at luncheons and stuff, right?
Okay.
And now I was competing and performing on the same level. I was in the NFL, you know, playing the Browns on opening day, and then I was flying to L.A. to perform on the biggest stage in the world on America's Got Talent. Mm. My two loves were simultaneously at the top of their game. That right there is a really cool feeling.
What do you think you're better at?
Oh, magic, no question.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. You've been 14 years in the league. You must be a hell of a magician.
You know what? Well, I won't say magic. You give me cards and sit me at a table, I'll jam with anybody in the world.
Now, do you play cards? Do you gamble?
No, nah, I'm not a big gambler. Okay. Not a big gambler. But if you want, I can deal whatever you want. which when I signed with Buffalo, Bledsoe and I had some fun gags, man. We'd go in on guys.
Oh, Bledsoe's a good guy. Oh, he loves his wine. He's a good dude.
And he loved to prank people. So, like, I'd just act like I was fumbling cards all over the place and maybe just deal some straight flushes here and there. And, you know what I mean? Just kind of mess with dudes. That was fun on flights.
Now, how long did it take you to learn the intricacies of magic? Because it's a specific skill.
Yeah, and it's so the similarities between snapping and magic, right? So when I was a young kid, I got obsessed at doing something over and over and over in search of the perfect rep, which for me was a life lesson. Huh. It was a lesson of it doesn't matter how hard something is, doesn't matter how difficult it is, but guess what? If you show up and you just try, you're going to get it. You're going to figure it out, and you're going to master it, right? It's Malcolm Gladwell, the 10,000 hours. So yeah. it was falling in love with the process. And a friend of mine said this. He's kind of a rock star guy, and he said this best. And he was mentoring somebody about music, and he said, if you really want to go down this road, you're going to fall in love with something that nobody in your life is ever going to understand. And whoever you end up with, they're going to be jealous because you're going to love music more than that person, because music's never going to betray you, and it's always going to be there for you. It's going to be a different love.
Mm-hmm.
That's magic for me. And so it wasn't that I was going to practice. It wasn't that I ever dreaded it. People in music, they see the world in melody.
Mm-hmm.
I see the world in clicks and shuffles. And then it's sorting out the chaos.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's how I see the world, and it's making sense of chaos, and that's what cards are to me.
Is your wife jealous of magic?
Yeah, right. Well, don't tell her. Just don't tell her.
Sorry. But turn it down. I was going to say turn down the volume.
I mean, you have coaches, and you know, JV football, varsity football, the junior college that you somehow hustled your way on, and eventually
out of,
and then moved up the ranks here. You had coaches who would focus on technique and the technical aspect of doing what you do. Are there magic coaches? I mean, is this just something that you innately have because you fumble around that eventually you get it?
You know, back in the day, like, this is all pre-internet, so it was all books. And my reading comprehension's been bad my whole life, which is why, just look, just buy my book so I can be a New York best time, you know, a New York bestseller.
So that your story
life is magic.
I want every English teacher I ever had that barely passed me to be like, are you kidding me? This is the one kid.
Stick it right at him.
That's published? Uh-huh. Are you serious?
Like, that's right.
Never in a million years. So,
but they'll still challenge the syntax of the book.
They absolutely will. They absolutely will. And I probably misspelled a word that they'll be like, hey, John, on page 75 on section 7, you forgot to. I forgot your question, dude.
What the hell was my question?
Is there coaches?
Oh, coaches and magic.
Coaches and magic.
Right, so this is before the internet, and I'm a visual learner, right? So for me, and I'm a left-handed magician, and all the text is for righties.
Yeah.
So I would have
that matters?
Yeah, well, like if you hold if you're left-handed, you do everything opposite of what the book says.
It's like golf instruction. Think about it. Yeah. Go get a golf book. Everything's for a righty.
Or guitar, because most guitars are right-handed. You're low high, and you flip it. You're right.
Yeah. So now think about, you struggle reading comprehension anyways. So I would get magic books and have to go through, and every time I saw the word left, I'd cross it off and write R, and then write, and I'd go through the whole book like that.
Wow.
So that way when I read it, I wouldn't get confused and turned around.
Sure.
So. You know, it was really hard for me to learn, but again, it was about the process, and once you start having success, you kind of get addicted to that feeling.
Yeah.
So I think where I threw people for a loop is I went years without doing a trick. Like, it was just, that was my time. So finally, when I came out to do a card trick when I was like 14 or 15, like, I came out doing like some heavy stuff. And
it's
people
like,
were like,
yeah,
whoa,
yeah,
what is this? It's not like the three rows of seven here, you know what I mean? Like, this guy's bringing it. So it was cool to kind of come out the gate swinging.
And so,
like I said, an agency saw me, and I started doing corporate stuff. And the rest is history, man.
Now, the chapters.
Can
of
you
this
make
book,
Tiki disappear for a little bit?
Yeah, come on.
Can you do that?
You end with the ring, which is which is the obvious one, and then you get to the closure. It's almost like you're wrapping up your existence here.
Here's what I want to know.
But that's not the case. Like, what are you now? What are you doing now?
Well, I think for people that read the book, they're going to find out that, you know, and it's something I learned in therapy as a young kid, and it's something that I take from my sports life. Is that we can learn things along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when we're involved in something, we get everything we got. But then we got to be okay with closure. And we got to forgive those that betray us. We got to forgive situations and circumstances, just knowing that it's life. And when something ends, good or bad, it's okay. It was just time.
Yeah.
It's time for a new chapter. So there's a lot of things that have happened in my life, good and bad. And these are the words that I told myself. And it's the process of I've learned through sports to be able to kind of have closure. And to move on. So the book is never ending, right? The story's never ending. So the book was almost done written, and then all of a sudden I had open heart surgery. So it was like, oh, we got to write that. Then all of a sudden, my wife got pregnant, and I was going to go see my dad. And I'm like, oh, shoot, you got to write that down.
Of course.
It never ends, because if you tell yourself this story and you want to be great and you keep showing up, then guess what? When something's done, it's okay because you're going to show up somewhere else.
Yeah.
And something else is going to happen. That's
I believe
even
in that too, fully.
Yeah. Intentional living, man.
So tell us the truth. How do you cut somebody in half and not kill them? I need to know how that trick
happens. Well, I haven't figured that out because I haven't done it.
No, but you know the ins of magic. How does somebody get sawed in half and not die or bleed?
Isn't there a code or something like
that? How does that happen?
Every Tuesday, what happens is every Tuesday, obviously the devil comes down, you make a pact. Right? You share it over a beer, and then he makes a deal, and then you clap. And then from the farm comes this woman from Oklahoma, and then you cut her in half, and then she goes back in one, and then the devil comes back and says, you want your soul back, you have a beer, you clap, and then you're back.
Mm-hmm. Two claps on the way back. Three in. Yeah.
I mean, that's the one I can't figure out. Yeah.
Prestige, right? You never give away.
How did they do that?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Otherwise, I'd do that in my show.
It's a great movie. Hey,
well, you could know conceptually, and you might not be able to execute it.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
So you could still know the inner workings.
Oh, but with
of
money,
it.
My friend, anything is executable.
Oh, man, dude. Very interesting story. John Dorenbos has been with us. Name of the book is Life is Magic. Get him up on the New York Times best-selling list. If you hopped in to the middle of this interview, you missed the start of the journey, which you're going to want to certainly go and get on our podcast. Just check it out on iTunes, radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com. You've done a lot, brother, and
my
it
man.
Doesn't seem like you're slowing down anytime soon. So.
Life's just beginning.
I love it. Good meeting you, man.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Thanks for coming in. That
Thank
was really
you.
Good. Can you make act disappear? Can we try instead of tiki? Can you make
anything,
act
but just don't cut me in half. Disappear, I got a shot of coming back. You know?
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.